Good morning, everyone. Again, thank you so much for joining me on this wonderful Sunday as we try to spend more time with our family. Quality of life is always important to us, but I know that our financial life, our financial well-being is very important as well in light of everything that's going on, not just taxes, but now as we are confronting with the financial difficulties in terms of not having our shops and our businesses open. And some of those who are open, we have to reopen slowly and meticulously as we try to meet and satisfy the various compliance requirements, laws and regulations are imposed to make sure that we deal with the COVID situation in accordance to the law and what's required of us as employees as well. I wanted to follow up with my previous conversation about the PPP, which is the Paycheck Protection Program. I know there's a lot of new information coming out. I believe the new guidance coming out from SBA last week about audits and about forgiveness for applications, but about forgiveness requirements. As of right now, the requirements are still the same: 75% payroll, 25% rent and mortgage / utilities. The talks in the House and Senate right now, and it's been passed in the House, is that they might want to propose a extension from the 8 weeks out to 16 weeks or even 24 weeks, and an extension of, instead of doing the 75% payroll, that maybe just reducing it to 60%, which means that 40% would be allowed for rent, utilities, and mortgage payments. So as of right now, they have yet to pass that, but we need to make sure that we prepare for it in case those changes come into place, because right now that 8 weeks window is still very short, and many of us who got approved are going towards the end of our 8 weeks. Really quick, the new guidance that came out recently within this week was a little bit more stringent, a little bit more detailed, and so I wanted to delve into those items really quick here without getting into too much specifics. And if you want to get into the details and specifics of it, do feel free to call me in my office or text me and email me, and I'll be more than happy to break it down for you. But the discussion right now is that SBA does require us to be aware that they can review your loan at any time. I believe the discussion was about the safe harbor, meaning that if any loans over $2 million, those would be under scrutinized and critique harder than those $2 million or lower. However, the new guidance came out that they will be looking at every application, or that they have the right to scrutinize and review every application. And so that, with that in mind, we do need to be aware that that money is given to us just because they said, you know, the amount that we got is less than $2 million. We are not out of the woods. And so the burden of proof is still on us as a business owner. The second item that they wanted to make sure that we are aware of that is that the loan forgiveness process does take up to 5 months. What does that mean? It means the SBA works with banks, the banks that approve us for our Paycheck Protection Program. They themselves have 60 days to review our application. As many of you know, I believe 2 weeks ago, there was an email that I sent out with the applications for the loan forgiveness. And so with that application, I believe it was like 11 pages long, 3 or 4 pages were instructions, but the rest of them were very self-explanatory. Again, if you don't understand it, you need more clarification, let us know. But basically, the basic questions are asked are just obviously the amount of loans you got, and the date, the amount of employees, the full-time equivalent versus part-time, if you rehire them, so on and so forth. And so if you have looked at those application, if you're not familiar with it, reach out to us, reach out to your bank. They're there to help us. But they themselves have to submit that application to the SBA, and the SBA, I believe, has 90 days to verify, to substantiate, and to review your application. So that does take a while. So I believe all that combined will take up to 5 months. Okay. Again, if they come back and ask for more substantiation, hey, it's on us to make sure that we have the substantiation. So I don't want us to wait to that point and wonder what happened or what do we need. We already know what we need. And I explained that at length about the requirement receipts, payroll records, payroll returns and pay stubs, pay stuff for rents, pay stuff for utilities. We all know what we need to provide for them. The other point that that they clarify also is that the borrower us needs to be aware that we are responsible for the forgiveness calculations. The banks, again, they're in the business of lending money. They're in the business of getting bank accounts and getting deposits. They're not there to show you how to calculate your forgiveness. They have their own calculation. They have their own formula, of course. But it's really up to us, up to you as a borrower, to calculate what is the amount of your forgiveness, and they will review after you submit that. So what does that mean? It means you need to use the tool that I emailed you, that I sent you. You need to start thinking about double checking if you're not sure, you know, if the amount that you receive is going to be forgiven, if the money you spend is on those expenses, on those items that you're not too sure about. So again, the calculation, okay, is expected to be provided by us, meaning by the borrower. And I'm not saying my system I gave you is perfect. Please, by all means, do your due diligence and double check on that. But I made sure that I went everywhere. I Google, I research, I read, I pay for programs out there to make sure that we have the best tools out there for you to use to calculate and to measure and to track down what's expenses are qualified and within that window of time, and what employees are qualified to meet the full-time employment criteria. So that's very, very important. The other thing that I almost mentioned too is that the maintaining of the full-time employees prior to, during the loan and after the loan, because as you are aware of, it is called the Paycheck Protection Program. So they want to make sure that, hey, you didn't just take the fund and start, you know, laying off people and then just retaining people on a part-time basis and still want to qualify for the loan. Their calculation is pretty straightforward. What were your full-time employees equivalent, right, compared to what were your FTE equivalent during the paycheck, the 8-week window, and then obviously they're going to go back and track what happened afterwards. Well, again, the 8 weeks will be the qualifying weeks, but I wouldn't be surprised if they said, hey, how was your paycheck change? You know, after June, I believe the cutoff time for them is around June, but I'm not sure on that. So we'll double check on that. Going back to that whole responsibility of the borrower in terms of the calculations, I want to make sure that you know that there are numerous forms and tools out there on the web, but I think the one that I have for you that I emailed and sent to you, many of you, and also made it available on our clients portal is pretty accurate and pretty adequate in terms of tracking the amount of payroll that we use, the amount of expenses that we incur, utilities and rent that we pay. But that's just a tracking mechanism. That's just a measuring tool. That's just a calculation of expenses. Substantiation documentation is something that we have to keep, okay? Substantiation documentation, receipts, payroll stubs, paychecks, payroll forms, 941s, those need to be kept. And if you are using us as your payroll provider, yes, definitely I have that for you. If you're not, please make sure that you track that with your ADP, SurePay, Gusto, whoever that you use. If you do that yourself, let me know and I can help you with that as well. Okay, so making sure that the onus is on us to keep track of the substantiation, but also to do the calculation as well. The third item that I think is very important that we need to be aware of, that is that is the employee, the full-time employee equivalent. A lot of us think that by having payroll alone should be sufficient to meet the requirement. They are particular. They are somewhat strict to make sure that, hey, this is a paycheck protection program. So you got to make sure that you rehire the same type of employees, not necessarily the same employees, but the same type of, in terms of the pay full-time equivalent, okay, that you use to qualify for the loan, that you need to have during the 8-week window to meet the requirement for the loan. So what they're saying here is that make sure when you have payroll, okay, that this payroll amount, full-time employee, needs to be the same or more, okay, during the 8-week window versus before you qualify for that loan. And how do we track that? Well, the calculation that we use in that tool also allows us to measure how many part-time employees is equal to one time, and also the amount of pay. You can't keep bring somebody back, pay them $20 an hour before, and then now only paying them 18 or 16 or 14 or lower amount and still qualify for that full forgiveness. So that tracking is very important as well. I want to bring up the very, very important issue, because not all of us are set up in a corporate structure, whether it's an LLC or S Corp or C Corp. A lot of us qualify for this loan as a Schedule C self-employed individual, or 1099 contractor, or a gig economy when we got, you know, where we work as an Uber driver or DoorDash or a contractor for real estate, and then we got a 1099. And how we got that loan is based on what they call a net income from our Schedule C. So when you use a Schedule C net income to calculate payroll, guess what? There's no payroll, right? There's no 941s and there's no paycheck stubs. So they do allow you to use your Schedule C income to measure your average monthly payroll expense, and so to qualify for that loan. Well, guess what? To meet the loan forgiveness, they're going to use the same criteria. That means that you need to make sure your Schedule C for 2020, okay, is going to be somewhat similar to your Schedule C in 2019. All right. And also the Schedule C that you gave them to qualify for that loan matches with your 2019 tax return Schedule C. I know that when the time we submitted it to them, we did not file the Schedule C tax return as of yet, which is relevant to a lot of us because they given us an extension to July 15 to file our tax return. So guess what? If you're giving me an extension, the loan is for today, I'm going to give you an estimate of what my Schedule C income looked like. Well, that's fine and dandy when you apply, but now when you want to apply for the forgiveness, they want to make sure that number you gave them during the application process matches with the tax return that is filed with the IRS. So please be aware of that. Make sure you're aware of how to track it. If we were to pay a little bit more taxes to the IRS and FTB because your Schedule C is high, well, guess what? It's made up by the amount of loan that we're able to forgive based on those numbers to qualify for the loan. So there needs to be some calculating there. There needs to be some planning ahead as well. But if you can imagine, the SBA is looking through your forgiveness loan application and it doesn't match with the tax return, that's going to create more problems as far as meeting the requirement for the forgiveness. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. Last item, again, I know we're getting kind of technical with all these, and we want to make sure that we get the gist of it, the details. It's very important, but this is not the purpose of our podcast. And again, I am always accessible for us to meet up, to get together, to go over the details. The last item I want to bring with you is wait and see approach. You know, as we talked about the proposed stimulus two and the proposed changes to the program, a lot of changes, but we cannot assume that those laws are going to pass because, as you know, our country is quite polarizing and divisive on the political end. And so we don't know if, you know, the extension from 8 weeks to 16 weeks is going to take place, or even 24 weeks, and if the 75% requirement is going to change to 60%. But as of right now, I want to share that with you, maybe just to be hopeful, maybe just to be keep an open eye mind to continue to listen to our podcast. We need to read up on what's out there, but also keep in mind that until those things are passed, we still have that 75% rule, 25% rule, and the 8 weeks window. Okay. Again, I really, really appreciate your time. Sorry about brushing through this, but this is quite important, and I want to share with you everything that's out there so you can make some really smart and sound decision as we get better together. Thank you so much. Have a great day.